Well, guys, I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm not a social butterfly, but two people asked me yesterday to go different places, or maybe mentioned going somewhere, and I was out today power hosing, and said to myself, you know what, I'm knackered, I'm getting old, and I couldn't be bothered going anywhere. And then Colin came around, and he says, are you going to Listeria? I says, did you know I got saved there 35 years ago? Or 34 years ago, sorry. He says, no. He says, sure, come and give your testimony. So here I am tonight. But 34 years ago, the Lord had a plan for me, and he brought me to this hall. And I don't think I've been back since. I can't remember being here since. But 34 years ago, I was here at a faith mission one night, and the Lord spoke to me, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Now, being saved, that last song was sung sort of sums it up. What a friend we have in Jesus. I want to read a verse from the Psalms tonight. And you'll have to, as I said, I'm getting old. My eyes are getting dimmer. I forgot to bring my glasses. No wife with me, you see. It takes a wife to keep you right. Psalm 121 says, I will lift my eyes up to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day or the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. You'll have to forgive me because I can't say a word of that. A bit of no different versions. But anyway, that sums up my testimony. It's like that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You know, it's all about coming to the Lord and seeking His help and seeking His... And Colin asked me to testify. I thought, what will I say? Well, you know, being saved is good. I was saved here 34 years ago and the Lord has been good to me for 34 years. And I have my wee girl here tonight. She's 10. And I was saved the year after her at 11. And yes, the Lord has been good to me for 34 years and I'm glad that night I come to Listeria Hall and the Lord spoke to me and saved me. And why is that I'm glad? So I want to read another verse. If we can see it, you'll really have to forgive me. I'm blind. You have put gladness in my heart. That's what the secret of salvation is. The Lord has put gladness in my heart. And yes, times the gladness, I take my eyes to the Lord and the gladness, I don't see it. But the Lord has put gladness in our hearts. So if you are saved tonight, I trust there's gladness in your heart. If you're not saved, why are you not saved tonight? The Lord's brought you here for a reason. Put your trust in the Lord tonight. Come to Him in prayer.
Matthew 5 verse 6, I'm going to read that. Let's read verse 5. 5 and 6. What's on Matthew 5? It's Matthew 6. Matthew 5 and Verses 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye which, when men shall revile ye and persecute ye and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely, for my sake rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's pray. Father, we just give thanks this evening for this time together here in Listeria. Give help, Father, as we just focus on the precious truth of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you come to a subject like the Beatitudes, if you're taking notes, it's good. And it's good to study the word. We can be put up. But this is a Sermon on the Mount. It's known as the greatest sermon ever preached by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And within that sermon, there are a few verses which talks about the Beatitudes. And what is a Beatitude? Well, we can think about the Beatitudes of Christ. They were simply statements or characteristics and blessings that were part of the Sermon on the Mount. So think of your own life tonight. I know it's easy, but I'll ask you to switch off from school for where you're heading and just ask yourself, where am I at with God? And these challenge us to look at different circumstances of life and how are we with our faith. A wee child asked me this week in school, is it difficult to keep the faith? And I thought about that, and I thought for me, no, it's not. But for other people, it is, might be difficult to keep the faith. Whenever you go to meetings like this and church tomorrow, within Christian friends, a Christian family, it's easy to keep the faith. But the real challenge is whenever we go, for example, to Poland, whenever a child gets converted, they don't belong to a family of the faith. They don't have any friends in the faith that we know in biblical Christianity. So for them, it can be difficult and extremely challenging. So whenever you belong to the faith, are surrounded by those in the faith, that's the time to grow. Because if you don't grow, you become stagnant and you become no longer useful to God. And that's the time to develop and to grow. Whenever a young man is serving his time in a garage, being a mechanic, it's his time to learn, because the time will come for him to leave or to go or to stay where he is. And quite often they leave to get another job. But it's what he learnt in that garage during those 3 or 4 years that will develop him and use him for the rest of his life. So during teenage years, it's time to grow and time to learn and time to develop. We often say that for children, but you're at a different stage in life, and this is your time for growing and developing. As we travel the country and different parts of the world and tell them about young people here, they almost envy. They say it's like heaven. On a Saturday night, young people can come together for Bible teaching or to grow and to know more about the Lord in fellowship and sing together and study the Word of God together. Some people might think that's like a pain or almost a curse, but it's not. It's a blessing. And these Beatitudes talked many times using the word blessed, or the word which simply means happy. So ask yourself, are you happy tonight? Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These are opposites. Whenever I thought about fear God, does that mean be afraid of God? It doesn't. It means be afraid of offending God. And so many ways, whenever we think of the Beatitudes, what is the Lord is asking us to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, where are we at? It's like a meekness or an attribute of human behavior. Think of the word righteous, the word humility, the word teachable, the word patient, the word long-suffering, or willing to follow gospel teaching, willing to follow the Bible. All of these are attributes to being a true disciple. And I often think, what is a disciple? What is a man of God or a woman of God? Is that a missionary? Is that a preacher? It's not. You know, when I learned this lesson about a month ago, whenever we buried my own mother, and I thought to myself, as I was preparing something to talk about her, I thought to myself, that woman, nobody knew little about her, but she really loved the Lord. She walked with God, and she read her Bible. It was so tattered and torn as she read it, and I thought, my Bible's not like that. And in her Bible, I was searching through it, and she had all these verses wrote out, and I thought, I don't write verses like that. And within it, there was a little piece of paper in her church of young people and young couples with the names of their children. And I thought, she had so many things to pray about herself and her own family. She's praying for others. And sometimes in life, we can be selfish. It's all about me. What can I get? Where can I go? And the Christian life is not about me. It's not about I. It's about others. First, with the love of God and man, fellow man as ourselves. Then whenever we think of this meekness and think about Beatitudes about mourning and quiet in spirit and blessed is the poor. What does it mean to be poor? Does that mean financially? Sometimes you have no money on a Saturday night, you say you're of no money and poor. But we're not really poor. Whenever you travel to India and Africa and those places, you know what poverty is. We go to Poland. Poland's not a poor country, yet people stand for 2, 3, 4 hours at the back just to get a bag of stale bread. We see in the winter time, maybe minus 10, 15, 20 degrees, you could say they're poor because of no food, no money to buy food. But also you hear people saying, I'm poor in health. Even though a person could be a millionaire, they're poor in health. They're waiting 3 years for an operation. They can hardly walk. Can hardly breathe. They've lost all their weight. whatever reason, they're poor in health, even though they've got money. They're not poor financially, but they're poor in health. Other people could say, I've got a poor education. I've got a poor education, don't have an education. So I could say, I've got a poor education. Some people get straight A's and straight B's and straight C's. I nearly got into Queen's University. Applied for a job as a caretaker, didn't get it. Didn't make me smart. No? So people can have a think, I've got a poor education. Other people, you've heard people saying, he's got a poor judgment. I watched a man driving and reversing in here tonight, and I thought, why so? He's reversing. And amazing, I said, that's a girl driving it. And Robin says, no, it's not. He's kept it between the hedges. It's a guy. But he was joking. I was joking. And I thought, a poor judgment. Because you see people driving down the road, they drive under heads. They judge it poorly by the speed going round the bend. We all make judgment, sometimes good judgment, sometimes poor judgment. What about spiritually? What does it mean to be poor spiritually? Blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. It's the opposite. It doesn't mean you're poor. Some people in Africa or Poland or in this country that can be poor with an education, that can have no money, that can have no health, but they're rich spiritually because they've got Christ on their heart, and that's the only thing they have is a Bible, the Word of God, and they're rich. And you see, whenever they die, you hear this all the time. No matter how your health is, how your money is, how your education is, it doesn't make no difference. Because the Bible talks about the dust we're made from, we return to, and it's what you've done with Christ in your heart, how well do you know God. The moment you die, can you wake up in the presence of God knowing exactly where you left off? Or do you have to go right back to the beginning with the very basics of biblical Christianity? Do you see when you have whatever that's called, and you're switched on, and you're alert, and you're fully functioned, that's the time, believe me, to get to know God. You ask an old person who really loves the Lord, their greatest desire in life is if I can only get to know Christ better, more and more. And I used to think, if you read the Bible right through, is that not enough? It is enough in one sense, but in another sense, it's never enough, because the more you read it, the more hungry you will become. And I want to go on to finish up by talking about to be poor in spirit means you need something. And we can search for all these things, but Christ, see, without Christ we can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Whenever you're poor in spirit, you're blessed. Poor in spirit means to be content with your life. So many young people are not content. I ask kids all the time, young people, who's content? I'm going to ask you tonight, put your hand up if you're happy with the way you look. I'm going to enter. Just the boys. Hands up! That's the only question I was going to ask, actually. If you're happy with it. Most people aren't. Most people aren't happy with the way they look. So that means you're going to spend tomorrow, next week, the week after, Christmas, all next year, and the rest of your life not content with the way you look. Has God made a mistake? Because if you believe you're fearfully and wonderfully made, which I do, I look in the mirror and I think, the Lord's done a great job. There's nobody looks like me. And I thought, I don't have to worry about all those things as long as my wife loves me. But it's amazing how many young people, Christian young people, they look in the mirror and they go, oh, no. Yes, the funny, my mum used to say the two honest things in the world is a camera and a mirror. They both tell the truth. And that's the way you are. You see, the sooner we get over the way we look, the way we are, how smart we are, how rich we are, how the size I am, accept it and move on with God. Believe me, but it's hard to grasp that. But I want to finish off with verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. These other things can hinder our walk with God. Blessed are those who hunger. Anyone ever been hungry? That's me most days. It's an awful thing when you're hungry. You know what happens when you're hungry? You start getting angry and frustrated and cross, making rash decisions quickly. But we naturally search for and chase our dreams. Whenever you're young, you've got ambition. You want to meet someone. You want to drive something. And you want to go somewhere. We all want to do that. When our friends tell us they've landed, they've arrived, then we can get jealous of them. But what does man really want? What's he searched for? Whenever he doesn't get what he wants, he becomes empty and he becomes disillusioned, disappointed, because his search in life has failed him, whether it's a relationship, a career, or money. But I wonder tonight, in closing, do you desire for the righteousness of God? Do you desire to be better, to be pure, to be like Christ? These things that the Lord is now focusing on in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they should see God. Do you have a desire to really see God, to be with God, to be like him? See, whenever it says, blessed are the hunger who thirst, in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What happens there? For they shall be filled. When you're not filled, you're empty. And so many people tonight, young people tonight, they're not filled, because whenever you're filled, you're content. And when you're not content, you're not filled. That means you're searching. And I ask tonight, what is the real challenge? What are we searching for tonight? For satisfaction? See, whenever this word righteousness, what's it talking about? It's referring to holiness, conforming to the law of God, righteous in love, loving Christ, loving others. And so many don't love, they might say, I love God, but I don't love my friends. I don't love my neighbors. I hate them. And there's not many people I know loves everyone. But that's the real challenge, to love our enemies as yourself. Blessed. Happiness. Contentment. So let's, as of tonight, can we honestly say before God, I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm content. And then we're going to move on to the word hunger, for those who are hungry. Think of Africa tonight when you see those wee children. We lived in Jamaica for a year, and whenever the wee children were hungry, they would say, me belly hungry man, me belly hungry man. Then whenever they got their dinner, they would say, me belly full man, me belly full man. So whenever we think tonight of hunger, and somebody's hungry, you're starving, you're craving for food, and you'll have a face like a bear until you get your food and you get really angry. But I wonder, when you draw a parallel to being hungry for God, how does it affect you? Whenever you read your Bible or go tomorrow morning, do we pray, Lord, I want you to have a message for me. I want you to speak to me, Lord. Will you please do that? Or tomorrow just going to be like last week and the week before? In the olden days, people went, and whenever they prayed, Lord, please have a word for me. Whenever they opened their Bible, Lord, please speak to me. I don't want to stop reading until you speak to me. Has the Lord ever spoke to you through his word? He does. Because this here is just a normal book about God. But this is the living word of God. That's the difference. And he speaks to us through his word. But if you don't read it, you're not listening, you can't hear from God. Blessed are those who hunger. So how hungry are we are for God? Do we have an appetite for spiritual things? An appetite for Christ to move within my heart and my life? Or am I just not hungry enough? What about thirsting? I lost my voice six, 7 years ago for 3 months, and I thought I was finished. And I was told, whenever you get your voice back, if you do get it back, make sure you never, ever go thirsty. Always, there's water. Always, is that mine? Mine now. Always drink plenty of water. You need to keep your vocal cords moist, because you're doing Bible clubs for an hour at a time, time after time, 4, 5, 6, sometimes 6, 7 times a day in the spring and all the summer, preaching and singing to kids. You said if you don't, they'll dry up and you'll end up losing your voice. And I thought, I have two things in life. One's my voice and one's my wife. If I lose either one, I'm finished. So you got to look after both of them. And I thought, thirsty. And do you ever, on a hot day, you'll do anything to quench your thirst. And I thought, that's so true. And how, whenever you're really warm and really thirsty and somebody gives you water, it's the nicest thing in the world just to get some water to quench your thirst. And that's what the word of God should be like. Whenever we receive the word of God readily in our hearts, it should be like refreshing, just like water is to a thirsty person. And then for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What does this mean? For mercy from God. because he is a merciful God for purity of heart, for peacemaking. You see, that's the real challenge for to make peace with fellow man, with those who live around us, or those who we see every day in school. And then this is the last challenge, and then they shall be filled. This reminds me of being filled with the Spirit. I couldn't really understand what that meant. Whenever a person becomes a Christian, we think of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We tell children, you imagine God is the one who's in heaven, and he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth. And when you believe what Jesus done on the cross to take away our sin, you believe in him and ask him to forgive you and to come into your heart. That's when you become a Christian. Then God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who lives in your life. That's you converted. But there's another stage, and it's being filled with the Spirit of God to actively live the Christian life. And sometimes we don't realize that. And if we don't, what happens is we start going through the Christian life in our own strength. And we can't do that because we're naturally weak. We will naturally be disappointed because we're going to get slapped. Read about it. It talks about being persecuted. People's going to stick their tongue out and they're going to turn their nose. You're going to smile at them and they're going to go, what are you smiling at? And the next thing you're going to go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to smile at you. And you're going to be offended when you're doing that in your own strength. But whenever you're living in the strength of God as a Spirit-filled Christian, and it's not a one-off, it's every day. Whenever I get up to speak to children, maybe there could be 200, 300, 500, 600 children and 40 or 50 teachers, I say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength, because you're not using notes, you're just relying on your memory all the time. And the Lord says, you need to ask me to fill you. And before I fill you, I need to empty you, empty of self and filled with the Spirit. Then when you do that job, you know what you need to do? You can down the road, somebody's going to go mad past you. You're going to feel like saying a bad word. You're going to see red lights and you're going to say another bad word because it's a red light and you're trying to get somewhere quickly. And somebody's going to stick their tongue out and you're going to get angry. And then you haven't time to eat and you're going to get hungry. And you start getting cross. And you're dying, you're getting thirsty, and you've no water to drink. So you're craving thirst, you're getting hungry, and the old man is fighting all the time. And the Lord says you need to be empty of self, and you need me to fill you again and again. It's like a watering can. Watering can. What happens? You keep pouring out the water. It soon gets empty. Watering can looks the same. But the water can's empty. That's why you need to keep filling it for it to be effective and useful. And we can be Christians tonight, young people. But if we don't ask the Lord to fill us with the Spirit, we can't be any use for him. We can't be effective. We're like an empty watering can. We look like a Christian. We walk like a Christian. We sing like a Christian. But we're not effective because we're not emptied of self. And I understand whenever I read this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, you need to be hungry for God. You need to be thirsty for God. And you need to want this righteousness, this purity of heart, this all of Christ. You need to have a desire to have it. And whenever you have that desire in your heart, you must have the desire. He won't give it to you unless you have that desire. And I remember being a young Christian, used to plead with God and weep and cry and said, Lord, what am I missing here? What is it I'm missing? I want more and more of you, until I understood how to be emptied of self and all of God. And there's a difference. I could have that tonight, but see, tomorrow morning, I'm going to have to ask him again and again, like a child to a father. They need to keep asking again and again. The father knows exactly what the child wants. But the child must ask for it before they get it. And that's like the relationship with God. It's not complicated. I used to think, Lord, why am I not getting this? And sometimes, and maybe if some people are unconverted and they're trying to live the Christian life, it doesn't work because they're spiritually discerned. That doesn't work. That's impossible. But then tonight, maybe you are converted and we're not getting it. Maybe that's why. Because we're trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And that's the only lesson I want to leave with you tonight, is the danger of trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. We must be emptied of self and to be filled with the Spirit. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And while we're in this world, the old nature is going to keep nipping at your heels all the time. Doesn't stop. I was taught, and when I was a young Christian, the three greatest enemies is the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you don't mean business with God, they're not relevant to you. But if you do mean business with God, the world is going to seem attractive. And that's your greatest challenge, is not to go with the world. The flesh, if you're a natural man or a natural woman, the flesh is attractive and it's going to pull you and attract you and distract you from God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil hates active Christians. He doesn't mind you being a Christian because he knows he can't take your soul as long as you do nothing for God. As long as you don't understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit to be active for God. As long as you don't search after this righteousness. As long as you don't have a hunger and a thirst for God, the devil doesn't mind. But see, when you started getting hungry and thirsty after righteousness, he's alert. He's alert. Right out that door. I know what it's like. You can trip. This wee girl, my friend's wee girl, Andy, she's got a sore leg. And I was joking. I said, she can only hop. I said, I'll race you up the steps. I tripped to the first step. Everyone's mad everywhere. I thought, my goodness, can't even jump up steps. And I thought, how easy is it to fall physically? But just as quick, we can fall spiritually. Do you know what happens sometimes whenever we fall? We just keep focusing on the fall. We feel God, and Lord, I'm no good. So many people, Lord, can't do it. Of course you can't do it. Do you know why? You're trying to do it in your own strength. Please get that. You can't do it in your own strength. I can do all things through me? No. I can do all things through Christ, who gives me strength, or who strengtheneth me. And young people, please catch that simple truth in God's word. It will save you years of heartache and misunderstanding. And that means you can be like Daniel and be strong and do great exploits for God. And the Christian life's a wonderful life. I live it every day. I try to serve him all every day with my heart, but I realize I can't do it on my own strength. I am strong. I am capable. I can. But I realize I can't do this here work without Christ. I can do all things through strength. So whenever you're reading the Beatitudes, don't be put off by them. It's the Lord just hesitating in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount to speak to you, his people, the Christian. Blessed, happy are those who put me first. So next time when you're back to school or back to work and you try to live the Christian life and it's not working, take a moment aside and say, Lord, empty me himself. Remember the watering can and pour, and you need filled up every single day to keep living for the Lord.